So that's what therapy did for me. It helped me work out a way to pass. Like when I admitted that I needed help, that's how I didn't fail, was admitting that I needed help.
Oh, this is going to be so good. That is just a sample of our talk with singer and songwriter Anthony Evans. He's joining us this week on this edition of Conversations from Studio 5. And I'm your host, Ephraim Graham. Thank you so much for making this your destination for uplifting interviews as we take a deep dive into the world of popular culture and entertainment with an extreme focus on faith. Well, Anthony has a single that's called Even If. It's a part of his bigger music project called Revive. Well, we're sitting down with him this week to talk about the new album, his personal life, as well as his journey to mental health and making sure that others take the journey as well.
So you are at the end of the tour now with Kirk Franklin. What's this journey been like?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing for many different reasons, but one of the main ones is Kirk was the first person that ever hired me to be a professional singer.
Really?
Back when I was 21 years old. I toured with him for 4 years. So the tour is called the reunion tour because of the headliners, because of the Clark sisters and Kirk. But for me, it's a reunion tour. It's a personal reunion tour with the man who believed in me first. And kind of, actually, there have been moments from the very beginning of my career where he was giving me leads kind of into what he saw me doing. He would tell me when I was 21 years old, like, the Lord's put a very specific sound with you, and he has, you know, I believe that you can be doing, I mean, so now I'm doing what he was whispering in my ear when I was 21. So,
Wow. So
to come back and be a part of that, it's a great time and for good cause.
And some big names on this tour in the gospel world. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be on stage with them night after night?
You know, it's like living your, for anybody who grew up listening to any kind of gospel music, to hear these Clark sisters sing these songs, it's like, I get to hear this 33 nights in a row. And it doesn't get old because it's just legendary music happening. And, you know, I'm on the tour in a different capacity. I'm not necessarily doing the singing side of me. People don't really know that. I'm on tour for one of the philanthropic sponsors of the tour, which I love making the ministry more than songs. So it's just amazing to be able to take it in every night and learn new things. Even now, you get to be here. You know, it's a very much of a get-to scenario, and so I love it. I love it very much.
Talk about the work that you are on tour with. You are doing this to essentially feed the hungry, correct?
Yeah, food for the hungry. I'm a global spokesperson for Food for the Hungry. They are out on our tours when I'm out with my dad or my sister or on my own. Mm-hmm. And for this tour, they just called and said, we know that your thing is not normally just going out and speaking. That's more your dad, your sisters, your brother. Mm-hmm. But would you speak on behalf of our organization? And I normally would be like, no. I want to say, my safety net is singing these songs and talking a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I've had so many years of experience with them, personal experience of them taking me to meet the child I sponsored because I'm a skeptic. And I'm like, I need to meet this kid. Don't play games with me. So I love being able to share that story with people in the audience who might be like me, who are like, yeah, I just came here to go to a concert. I don't want to be asked anything of me. And if you're asking me, I'm a skeptic. So tell me something real. So I love to speak to the people who may be like me, who were like, I don't believe this is real. Yeah.
Now, when the tour wraps, you've now got a new single out that's sort of introducing us to the new project.
Yes.
Even If is the new song. Mm. I remember when I first heard just the first lyrics, and it's this may be the hardest song I've had to do.
Yeah.
Tell me the message. What happened?
The message, actually, when you mentioned the first line of the song, which is, I'm being honest, this is the hardest song my heart will have to sing. Mm-hmm. I wrote the song, and then I played it for Kirk Franklin, who's mentioned as like a mentor, and he said, rewrite it. Write it deeper. I've heard you talk like that before, and you've been through too much to write those kind of lyrics. You have deeper lyrics now. And so Even If is a song that was birthed out of the loss of our mom, like the tragic loss of our mom, which was on the heels of losing 8 other family members. And there came a point in my life and my career where I had to make a decision. Do you really, at this point, with the new level of things that are going wrong in life, do you believe what you are singing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was the hardest song my heart had to sing, because I made a choice that, God, you have tragically and taken some people from our lives, including our mother, and I'm still going to worship you in spite of that. But that was not an easy conclusion to come to. Mm-hmm. So that's the song is about not just loss, but a lot of us have our grief scenarios. I was just talking to a friend of mine who got a message from her husband that he's like, I'm out of here after 23 years. And that's her even if. She's like, God, even if this is not restored the way I see it, will I still worship you? So that's the new song. All of us have an even if scenario. And I wanted to kind of approach this album and new singles as honestly as I can, which I think resonates more than anecdotal stuff, you know.
My wife and I are actually coaching a woman through the very same thing, a husband who they were our examples.
Oh, wow.
You know?
It's like, what is happening?
And it's like, what on earth? How? And she goes, he just says, he's not here anymore.
Right.
So my heart sinks. But one of the things you say in the song, mm-hmm. that's true for me, and I think for so many people, I'll sing this until I believe it.
Yes.
I actually don't believe what I'm saying.
100%. And I'm the emotional mess of the family. Like, there's always one preacher's kid where you're like, are they going to make it? That's me. All growing up,
yeah.
It's like, everybody's really solid, except Anthony's a little off. Yeah, that's me. So my dad has really coached me through a lot of dealing with emotions. Like, emotions are indicators. They're beautiful. They're a gift. But if they lead, then you're going to be derailed constantly. So a lot of times he says, walk in the direction of the truth and your feelings will follow your feet. Like, keep singing until you believe. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. So there are moments where, you know, for us specifically in that loss, where we were like, I'm going to believe that God is good. And it's kind of like, I don't right now, but I'm going to just do what I can and let him do what I can't. Mm-hmm.
And the new project is called Revive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why that?
The album's called Revive because I've taken steps in my life via therapy, which I had to go. I mean, after all this stuff, I was like, I'm about to lose it. Like, it's too much. It was, and we all have those points in life where it's just too much, you know? And I had to make a decision. Am I going to allow this too much to take me down? Or am I going to do what I can? And there were moments where all I had was, it took everything in me to sit down with my therapist and talk through this stuff. I mean, I was just like, I don't want to talk anymore. But I would have those moments, and then God would like magnify those moments. He would take my effort and multiply it. There was a, growing up, my dad, I think about this when I think about doing what I can. I was played Little League Baseball, and there was a moment where my dad came and wrapped his arms around me with the bat, like, and helped me swing. And all of a sudden I went from like, I can't hit a ball to being Babe Ruth. You know what I mean? It wasn't, and if I would have dropped the bat and walked off, the impact wouldn't have been made. I had to do what I could, and then my dad came around me and made it into a home run. And I feel like Revive is an album about me doing what I can and God wrapping his arms around me and making my effort home runs. Mm-hmm. He will do that not only with me, but everybody listening.
Would this be the first album without your mom present?
Yes. Which, it just feels crazy. It feels crazy because the weight and the intention behind what I'm doing has drastically changed. Mm-hmm. Because she was the one that said, you have a very special voice and a gifting that you should be using back when I was 12. So the intent behind it all is very different.
So mom was the first to hear the voice in you?
Yes. Yes. And the first to call out that you're different. Like, you're not supposed to be singing the way you hear everybody else singing. She would be very much like, nope, this is the lane you're supposed to be in, even though all you're hearing is other things. So she taught me how to be true to myself, musically, and, you know, as a human being, but musically especially. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Wow, what a mm-hmm. gift to for her to be able to call and see.
Yeah,
see that.
You know how moms be seeing stuff. Yeah.
Nice. How did you feel working on the project without her?
I felt, more intentional. Everything feels like, don't just write it. Like, live it and then write. Like, it was just another level. My mom, I think with her being gone, there's another dynamic when it comes to being on the road with my family. The music is obviously a part of that, but one of the last things she said to me was, I want all of y'all together. She wasn't saying like, this is my wit, but she was just talking, and that sunk into me deep. So now when I make the music, I think about the opportunities that we'll have as a family to be out doing things together. And this is one of the tools we use when we're out, but it just hits different. You know, it really does hit deeper.
Mm-hmm. We are, as believers, many of us, in love with the Evans family. You guys are our examples for us. What do you think Mom and Dad did that made you guys who you are? I mean, from Priscilla to Crystal to your brother. Yeah. I mean, you, of course. But because whenever I was telling people, I'm going to talk to Anthony Evans, they're like, oh, that family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't just, it wasn't just
for
you.
For sure.
Oh, I get, that family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My parents were faithful. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I don't mean faithful with the big opportunities, are faithful with the promise keepers when we were little, and faithful with the books. I mean faithful with sitting around the table when we were all kids and being all over the place and crawling underneath the table and laughing, and my dad's trying to have a devotion with us and we're just being loud. He was faithful with that. And that created something in us where the idea of a family wasn't anymore just an idea. It was like our reality was that. Like, family is wildly important. So what you see on a stage or me singing, that's just a byproduct of us sitting around the table and our parents being faithful and my mom being like, oh my gosh, these kids. And you know what I mean? At certain points, it's just too much. But that's what you're seeing a byproduct of when it comes to the way we do ministry and the way that we love each other well. And it hasn't always been easy, but they just super, super faithful and reminding us that family is the most important thing ever. Ministry can come and go, but family is the most important. So now we get to do both together.
How are holidays now looking back, as you guys have come through quite a bit?
Yeah.
What's it like today looking back now and seeing where you are?
Yeah, the holidays are obviously bittersweet, but there was a great picture of it is I walked into the house we grew up in, which my dad still lives there, and I walked in and opened the door, and it was the sounds of my mom, the smells of my mom. It felt like my mom is here, but it was my sisters in the kitchen watching a video of my mom making Christmas dinner and copying the video to make sure everything was the same. The last Christmas dinner my mom made, my sisters recorded it. So I walked in the kitchen and they say they have aprons that say she's still cooking. Like that's and it's my sisters and wearing the aprons in the kitchen, and it's not beautiful, but it is. You know what I mean? It's one of those like where joy and sorrow meet kind of moments where it feels like my mom is still here because of the impact and the deep level of tradition and value, family value she placed in me. Not saying that my sisters can only be the ones in the kitchen, but they do it better than me. You know
what I mean? You're not trying to get in there.
Yeah. So we have a lot of great memories because our mom worked hard. Like when you become an adult, you realize your parents were working hard. Like any kind of great memory you have is like, that took a lot of work. It's beautiful. As beautiful as something like that can be, is what it is.
One of the things you talk a lot openly about, as you did today, and I want to talk as a black man to a black man, how important is mental health and therapy? It seems like we're only just now beginning to realize, like, we are also in a crisis. We need to talk. We need to deal with it.
I think it's one of the most important things. One of the most important things, period, as related to culture, but especially in African American culture, because sometimes it can be like, it's a harder stance against it. Mm-hmm. But the change that we need to see in our culture in general, to me, comes from you being not only healthy spiritually, but mental health and spiritual health and emotional health are all tied together. And for some of us, and I'm careful when I say this because I don't want it to sound bad, but for some of us, reading Be Anxious for Nothing is not enough. You need tools on how to be anxious for nothing. Our tools on how to forgive, our tools on how to love correctly, our tools on how to undo trauma. Like, it's not necessarily, some people need to break things down. I always say I needed tutoring in algebra class in college or in high school. I needed tutoring. I could not understand. There was a book of truths with formulas in it that all made sense, that were always true, teacher working it out, and I was lost. So there have been moments where I'm reading the word, Book of truths, they always work out. My dad is the teacher, like no better professor ever, and I'm still lost. So that's what therapy did for me. It helped me work out a way to pass. Like when I admitted that I needed help, that's how I didn't fail, was admitting that I need the help. So I'm a big proponent for therapy. And I think it's wildly important for those of us who need tutoring.
Was it hard to get to that point where you realize this isn't going?
Yeah, because I had to get almost to the point of a breakdown to admit that. So yes, that was hard because that wasn't necessary. You didn't have to, I didn't have to go all the way to the point of almost losing my mind and my career and my ministry to figure out that you needed help. Mm-hmm. But there's something in our culture and in faith culture even that goes like, no, like pray harder. I'm like, that's not always, wise counsel is also mentioned in scripture. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
so that it was hard because I didn't have to go that far to figure it out. And now I want, through the music or through the book, When Faith Meets Therapy, I want people to not have to go to the point of a breakdown to figure out they need help.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the project. So 2024 comes, we get to hear it. If you are thinking on release date, I can't wait for them to hear blank.
Oh, yeah, it comes out February 23rd, 2024, mm-hmm. but I can't wait for them to hear probably, this is a song called This Is My Thank You, which is the last song on the album, and it's a song to my mom. Mm. Yeah, I can't wait. There's a few songs I can't wait for them to hear, but that one is very, very special to me.
Wrote it all yourself?
Yeah, I wrote that along with a guy named Nick Pothoven, who I wrote most of my album with. There's sometimes you find a dynamic that works, and it's just like, keep writing. Yeah.
What made you say it's time? It's time for something.
You know what's wild is I got asked to. I'm in this Christmas. I'm in a movie for BET, and I was on set filming my character, and the director, her name is Robin Givens, she was asking me, like, Anthony, getting music, it was a movie about gospel music. Mm-hmm. So she was asking me my thoughts on things. And she finally says to one of the executive producers, why is he not just doing the music for this movie? She just said it. And then the next day I was asked to do all the music for the film. And there was a scene in the movie where the young guy was singing to his mother. And so I had to write a song for that scene. And the actress, after they said cut, walked to me with tears in her eyes and said, I know your story and I know why you wrote that song and where it came from. And she just was just crying after that because she just knew the story of my mom. I didn't know that. Mm. And so that started this perpetual motion. Writing songs for a film created me continuing to write for myself. That kind of primed the pump for me to keep writing.
Wow. And when can we see the film? What is
the
that?
The film, it's called Favorite Son Christmas, and it's out this December 2023.
Nice. Yeah. Now, is this the first foray into acting, or?
No, this is probably my fifth film.
Okay. And
two with BET, but this is the second of.
And what was that, this process like doing a Christmas movie?
It's great. It's different, you know, being on set with, in that world is just different. And then Robin Givens, I grew up watching her. I don't know.
Head of the class. Yeah,
From head of the class all the way up. Yes. So, I grew up watching her. So to be directed by somebody, it's a whirlwind. It's fast. It's quick. It's know your lines and move. And you, it's not church. So you gotta get it right. But it's great to kind of exercise muscles that are kind of in the same family, but a little different. Mm.
Not only are you someone who's in front of the camera singing, but you do a lot behind the scenes as well, even production of events that we were watching, not realizing you producing them. I want to call out some names that people will be familiar with that you've had work connections with.
Okay.
And I want you to give me your first reaction, whether you remember the project or whatever.
Okay.
First one, DJ Khaled.
Wildly kind and like a friend from high school energy. Yes. I forget that he's that until like my phone rings and my friends are around. They're like, wait, who's calling your phone? but he's super kind.
Nice. Kanye West.
That was a whirlwind. That was kind of my intro to all that working outside of the box when he was doing the Jesus is King album and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was wild, but it taught you get it together. Like, we'll keep going.
Nice. Pharrell Williams.
Also a gentle spirit. Mm. A gentle spirit and so thoughtful and kind. Yeah.
Nice. 2 Chainz.
Listen to the song before you agree to work on it. I was like, not wildly familiar, and just it's LA, you get the phone calls, mm-hmm. and I was like, play that song again? I don't think that's not on brand. But yeah, also very nice though. But I was like, oh, you don't know.
You don't know who I am. But
yeah. Very kind though.
Tyler the Creator.
Also very, I'm not being careful, very, very kind and like funny stuff about him. Like he loves to eat Frosted Flakes in the studio. So he like has cereal, like that's his thing. It's like just eating cereal and telling you what to do. Yeah.
Kirk Franklin.
Bonus brother. Like, that's what I think of when I think of him. Bonus brother and an investor in my whole. When you hear me do anything, you hear him do something. Because it's that embedded in me.
Nice. Tori Kelly.
Oh, I love Tori. And her husband are some of my greatest friends. Like, I'm grown, but I will go spend the night at their house once or twice a month. That's they're like dear to my heart, her and Andre. Yeah.
Nice. I'll end with this question. If you could go back and speak to little Anthony, now that you have lived life and experienced some stuff, what would you tell that little boy?
The uniqueness and the differences in you that you now feel either ashamed of or you feel like that make you the odd man out will ultimately make you it will play a beautiful and wildly important part in the unique man that God's called you to be.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Anthony Evans' single, Even If, is out right now. You can get it wherever you purchase, stream, or download your music. Revive is anticipated in 2024. I want to thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Conversations from Studio 5. This is your destination for uplifting interviews in the world of lifestyle and entertainment. Hope you'll join us again next week. Well, next week we're sitting down with pianist Jade Simmons. For more information on the show, please be sure to check us out. You can find us on our Facebook page, and you can search Instagram, Studio 5, and there you'll find us as well. I'm your host, Ephraim Graham. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on the podcast.